You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, it's been an awfully long time since the Phillies came to camp with just the sort of expectations and vibe and overall sort of feeling of the roster that they have this year. What's the kind of message or tone going to be when the front office is acknowledging that they're in the early stages of a rebuild?
I think it's going to be a little strange to be in Philly's camp, because on one side you're going to have some veterans that probably thought they were going to be traded by this point, you know, specifically Cole Hamels, Jonathan Papelbon, Ryan Howard, Cliff Lee to a lesser extent because he's not healthy. But then you're going to have all these younger guys with a lot to prove. You're going to have Dominic Brown is trying to bounce back from a bad year. Cody Ashe, he's going to try to take another step forward as the Phillies' third baseman. You have Michael Franco, who played great in winter ball this year. So you have a lot of younger guys, Ben Revere, Darren Ruff in camp, a lot of young relief pitchers, Ken Giles, Jake Diekman, that are kind of hoping to be part of this core going forward. So it's going to be strange. Like I said, you're going to have one group of guys that's kind of going, all right, am I going to be around by the time the season starts? And you have some guys going, I know I'm going to be around when the season starts, and I want to keep improving because I want to be part of this team's future.
Is Lee the guy who is most likely to be dealt before the end of camp? I mean, there are a lot of things they could do by July, but is Lee a guy that there's any chance he could go out and show he's healthy and might get moved even before opening day?
I think it's certainly possible, because he definitely was getting a lot of consideration, I think, before he got hurt last year. You know, the Phillies, they had gotten some inquiries on him. So if he can go out and look healthy, it wouldn't surprise me if he was traded before the season opener. I think it would take a lot to get it done, because I believe he makes $25 million this season, and then he has a buyout for 2016 worth $12.5 million. So he's owed at least $37.5 million, and that club option for 2016 vests if he finishes the season healthy and throws 200 innings. So if that vests, his contract next year is worth $27.5 million. So he kind of runs into the same issues that a lot of these current Phillies have, these veteran Phillies. You know, certainly a lot of teams would like that player, but there's a lot of money involved, and that kind of gums up the works as the Phillies have found this offseason in their inabilities to trade guys like Lee and Papelbon and Ryan Howard.
Behind Hamels and Lee in the rotation, there are a whole lot of guys that I think it's fair to say you don't really know what you're going to get. Several of them veterans, not all of them. What do you think the rotation looks like at the end of spring?
Well, if Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee are still in camp, you know that, and they're healthy, you know they're going to be the 1-2 guys. I think the rest of the rotation looks like this. Aaron Harang, they signed a couple months ago. He's going to be in the rotation. I think he started 33 games last year for the Braves. It was 12-12. They need him. He's kind of like insurance in case they do trade Lee or Hamels, because they're really, really thin in that starting rotation department. So I think he would open the season as the number three guy. And you talk about the number four, number five guy, they re-signed Jerome Williams, who pitched pretty well for him last season, actually. So they like him in that number four spot, even though they haven't come out and said, yes, he's guaranteed a spot. I would be stunned if he's not in rotation come opening day. And that fifth spot, I think the favorite right now going into camp is David Buchanan, who had a pretty decent rookie year. David, they're hoping that he can take another step forward. But there are some kind of interesting things, I guess, to watch in camp. Chad Billingsley, they just signed a one-year, $1.5 million contract. They don't think he's going to be available or ready to go for the rotation until late April. But he's a guy definitely worth watching, because I think if he has a good spring, he shows he's healthy, he gets a couple more innings in April, he's a guy that could be up, you know, less than a month into the season. And the other guy to watch is Miguel Alfredo Gonzalez, the guy they signed to a 3-year, $12 million contract a couple years ago. he wants to start really badly. Health-wise, he hasn't been able to stay in the rotation in the minor leagues, but they're going to give him a shot. So I'm kind of curious to see how he handles starting, what his velocity looks like, if he can hold up durability-wise. And if he pitches great this spring, then I think he might be able to edge out David Buchanan. But like I mentioned earlier, I think Buchanan right now is a favorite for that number five spot.
And then, you know, it's not really – it doesn't seem to be a lot of question as to who's the shortstop, but there's a lot on – Freddie Galvis, if he is the shortstop, how tough a situation is that to walk into to replace a guy who was such a franchise icon for so long?
I think it's going to be pretty hard. I don't know how much pressure he's going to put on himself, but certainly outside, you know, his mind, there's going to be a lot of pressure from a lot of people, most notably the fan base, because this is a guy who – Ryan Sandberg loves him. Let me start by saying that. He loves him because of his energy. He loves him because of his baseball instincts. He does play a very good defensive shortstop. But you have a guy here who, in I think about 550 career big league plate appearances, his OPS is around 640, or maybe even lower than that. I think his career minor league OPS is around 640. So this is not a guy who has proven he can hit big league pitching on a consistent basis, and even minor league pitching on a consistent basis. So you go from the greatest shortstop in franchise history to a young guy who hasn't really proven he can hit at the big league level, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him and a lot of people following the Phillies' top prospect this season in Double-A if he starts there, which is J.P. Crawford.
I was about to ask about him. Are Crawford and Franco probably the two most notable prospects to watch in Phillies camp this spring?
Yeah, I think so. Those two guys are definitely going to be, Michael Franco for sure, because he had such a great winter ball season. They're going to definitely keep an eye on him, but I tend to think he's going to start the season in the minor leagues, and J.P. Crawford's just going to start in minor leagues and just get him regular at-bats and continue to develop. But during the season, I think you're going to see a lot of J.P. Crawford reports. You know, he's on a 10-game hitting streak, or he's 0-for-20 or whatever, because now that Jimmy Rollins is gone, he is clearly the heir apparent to play shortstop. And you talk up to a lot of scouts, and they say this guy could really be something special. So that's music to Phillies fans' ears, because right now they're really kind of hoping that they can speed up this rebuilding process and maybe turn it on sooner rather than later.
What are you expecting to see from Ryan Howard this spring?
That is going to be interesting. It's so hard to say because clearly his production has gone down pretty much every year over the last several years. You know, injuries were involved, yes, but even when he has been healthy, his numbers were already starting to dip. I think there's just a lot of curiosity. One, what kind of frame of mind is he going to come in? I don't think he's particularly happy that, you know, Ruben Amaro Jr. said privately and publicly we'd be better off without him on the team than, you know. So I think he might have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think he might have something to prove, which is all fine and good. But, you know, can he back it up with his performance on the field? I think there's a lot of doubters out there that he's going to be able to do that. But like I mentioned, there's a curiosity level. He's got this. These family issues are in the past now. They're resolved. So some people wonder if he comes into camp with a clearer mind without that kind of weighing him down mentally. Will that kind of clear his mind on the field and maybe get him to refocus a little bit more and be a little bit more effective at the plate? So it's going to be fascinating personally, you know, how it goes in spring training with Ryan Howard, you know, how he starts the season. If he starts out great, then I think they're really going to continue to try to trade him. And if he struggles, then they got a whole other issue, which is, what do you do with arguably your greatest first baseman in franchise history?
How secure are Dominic Brown and Grady Sizemore as listed as the starters in the corners, but I got to think that neither one of them is necessarily guaranteed anything.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think early on, Dominic Brown is probably guaranteed a little bit more playing time than Grady Sizemore. And I say that only because, you know, the Phillies aren't really playing for the postseason this year, and this season is geared around a lot of these younger guys, and not that Dominic Brown is a rookie by any means, but they look at Dominic Brown and say, okay, we got to give this guy one more shot, see if he can bounce back and play like the player that he was in 2013 when he made the National League All-Star team. If he does, great. Then they know they can go forward with him. If he struggles, then they know they need to find somebody else to play that corner position in right field. So I think he's going to have a longer leash in terms of playing time because they really want to know and get a real good long look at Dominic Brown. Now, Grady Sizemore, you know, more or less is a placeholder. He's a veteran guy that can play on a semi-regular basis. But I think you're going to see Darren Ruff there a little bit. Odubel Herrera, who they claimed in the Rule 5 or picked up in the Rule 5 draft. They really like him. He's a guy that could play some left field a little bit. So Grady Sizemore, his spot is very much, I think, you know, he's going to get the most playing time, I think, going to camp. He's the odds-on favorite to get most playing time going into the season. But with Darren Ruff and Herrera in the mix in left field, I think it would not surprise me at all if Grady Sizemore kind of eases out of the situation there and those two guys kind of, you know, see their playing time build as the season goes on.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. Safe travels to Florida, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.